חסיד אלך, תלמיד אלך. I think the rabbi is here.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God. Thank God, Baruch Hashem. Thank you for playing that song. It's very nice.
Yeah, it's my duty. I will not miss it again. So, Rosh Hashanah is almost here.
Rosh Hashanah is coming up on Sunday night, which is creeping up on us quicker than at least I'm ready. However, it is going to come and we're going to be ready, and it's going to be a wonderful, great Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is Sunday night, the first night, Monday, which is the 9th, the 10th, 10th at night, and the 11th. Now, the Jewish year, which is really the Jewish New Year, which is Rosh Hashanah, if anyone looks at the word of Rosh Hashanah, it means head of the year. So just like the head controls the body, our actions in Rosh Hashanah have a tremendous impact on the rest of the year. As we read in the Rosh Hashanah prayers, which we do many of those each year on this day, all inhabitants of the world pass before God like a flock of sheep. And it is decreed in the heavenly court, who shall live, who shall die, who shall be impoverished, and who shall be enriched, who shall fall and who shall rise. So it's really, it's a day of prayer, a time to ask God to grant us the year of peace, prosperity, and blessing. However, it's not only so serious about prayer and everything, it's also a joyous day because we proclaim God, King of the Universe. And the Kabbalist in Kabbalah teaches that the continued existence of the universe depends on God's desire for a world. So a desire that is renewed when we accept His kingship each year, then God has that desire for having us as a nation. Now, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the first ever day of Rosh Hashanah, was on a Friday, which was the sixth day of creation. And we know that on Rosh Hashanah is the day we proclaim God as our king.
Yeah.
Adam, the first man, proclaimed God king of the universe. So on Rosh Hashanah, we coronate God as our king. And how do we do that? We do that by blowing the shofar. Because we know that any time a new king was crowned to proclaim his sovereignty throughout the whole country, trumpets were sounded. So the same thing is, God marks this day of creation. So we accept God's sovereignty by blowing on the shofar. The shofar also serves as a wake-up call to do teshuvah, as it is brought down in the Rambam. Awake, you sleepers, from your sleep, examine your deeds, repent and remember our Creator. Because the sound of the shofar, which is really a wailing cry, you know, causes us to wake up and want to change. And if you go and look at the word teshuvah, everyone knows teshuvah is okay, repentance.
Yeah.
But if you go and look at teshuvah, means it comes from the root word of tashuv, which
come
means
back.
To return, to come yeah. back, correct. So just to say, oh, I'm so sorry, that's very nice. It's good. However, we need to return, to come back to God. In other words, we don't do what we have done and continue doing that. We do something different. So really, the shofar also inspires awe in us and reminds us that it is a day of judgment and that wake up. One more last thing about the shofar reminds us of the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. When Abraham offered a ram as a sacrifice that was in the trees in the place of Isaac. So likewise, we strive to achieve self-sacrifice in our service to God. Now, Rosh Hashanah is not only a day that we proclaim God as our king, but it's also a day of judgment, as we said. Because on this day, we learn that Adam sinned and was judged and forgiven. We know the sin of the apple.
Yeah.
We're not going to go into that now. But he sinned. God judged him. And then God forgave him. Rosh Hashanah teaches us that it is human. We are all human. And it is human to err. And it is divine to forgive. Said God to Adam, you are a sign unto your children, as you were judged before me this day and emerged forgiven, so will your children be judged before me on this day and emerge forgiven. Something so interesting is that I find is that, you know, if I get into a fight with you, which we will never get into a fight because you're just too nice of a guy to get into a fight, but let's say I would get into a fight with you, I would forgive you. Now, is it true forgiveness? Have I truly, truly forgotten about it and that it doesn't exist anymore, that argument or that fight? Or I've forgiven you and I still have a little bit in the back of my mind, you know, how could he have done this to me? We're all a natural human being and we all err. We all have this small little thing in us. We want to forgive, but we're still going to have a little bit of something grudging in us. Divine, in other words, God, when God forgives, he forgives. Next chapter. We move on. That's why whatever we've done this past year might have been good, might have not been good. God might have been happy. He judges us. And he sees how sincere we are when we come return to him and we do what we need to do is in prayer. Then God forgives us and we move on. Now, one of the questions I always get about Rosh Hashanah is that, you know, come Rosh Hashanah, I have to go to shul. I have to only be spiritual. Only God, ask God for spiritual things, you know, that I should pray more, or I should be more involved in charity, or whatever it is. But should I really ask about my personal things that I need, you know, money and business and health? That's really petty stuff, really. Should I really bother God?
And love.
And love, yeah. And God says 100% yes, absolutely. You know, there's a great sage, Reb Shmuel, what was his name? Reb Shmuel Munkus. And he was a big rabbi, and he would daven, besides davening regular thing, he would say, Rosh Hashanah is the time to pray that the cow should give milk and the oats should fetch a good price in the marketplace. Why? Because everything that there is in this world that's physical still has a spiritual context to it. I can elevate it. I can do something spiritual with it. So there is no problem in asking God and saying, God, please help me. You know, the story of Chana and Eli in Shmuel, in Samuel, chapter 1, where Chana has a dialogue with Eli about her child, so on and so forth. And Ellie sat there, until when will you be drunk? They thought that she was crazy. And she said, no, so on and so forth, I'm just pouring out my soul before God. She really, this, what's wrong with asking for a prayer for ourselves? So when it comes to something that we go to shul, we go to synagogue, wherever we're going, if we're not going because we can't, we're staying home, whatever it is, we can still pray to God. And by praying to God, we ask him for the physical and as well for the spiritual. I don't believe that all our questions out there should only be from the physical part. There should be a two-way street to a certain extent that God is giving, we're going to give to God, but we expect, there's nothing wrong with it, that God should reciprocate. Or the other way around, that God gives us, he expects us to reciprocate. It's a two-way street. And as we said before, that the fact that the continued existence of the universe depends on God's desire for a world, which is our renewed commitment, which is his desire. And the main purpose of this is because God wanted that there should be a home in this world for him. God has spiritual world. God has all the things that he needs up there. But he wants down here. He wants the spiritual, the physical world to have a dwelling place for him. And who is that up to? That is only up to us. That is only up to us that we can commit. And that's what comes Rosh Hashanah. We commit every single year to redo our part for allowing God to be in this world. Now, one of the things that we do on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is we go and do tashlich, is we go and cast away our sins in a body of water, and we go, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be a river. Even if you have a little pond in your backyard and there's fish in there, you can do it then as well.
Open your pockets.
Yeah, empty out your pockets as well. Correct. Now, a few other things that we do as customs on Rosh Hashanah, both, obviously on both nights of Rosh Hashanah, we light the candles and we say the blessings. That we also have our festive meal with family and friends, and we, a lot of people have the custom to eat round challah, the round bread, different than the rest of the year where we eat more of the woven loaf bread, and that's because it symbolizes the cycle of life.
Yeah.
We dip our challah in honey. We dip the apple in the honey. And we say this special blessing that God should give us a Shana Tova Mutuka, a healthy, sweet new year. A lot of people have the custom to eat carrots. So in Yiddish, a lot of in the older generation, they would have tzimis, which is the sweet carrot. Carrots is the Hebrew word of carrots is gezer. Gezer comes from the numerical value as well as gezerah, as a decree. So we ask in God it should be a good decree.
Yeah.
And in Yiddish, carrot is merin. Merin in English means multiply. So it's all that, all these types of things that we do, everything symbolic that we should have a good year. We eat the head of a fish, or if you're a Sephardi and you come from more Middle Eastern, then you'll eat a head of a lamb. And we say that we should be the head and not a tail.
Yeah.
We don't eat nuts, because nuts, the Hebrew word for nuts is egoz. Egoz is numerical value of 17. And it's the same numerical value as chet, which means sin. So we don't want to have that. We also avoid, a lot of people have customs to avoid sour foods. It should all be good, sweet things. And then on the second night, we eat a new fruit to say Shachianu. Now remembering this, these are customs. So if a person has a sour meatball, for example, you're not going to go to hell. You're not going to get a bad year. These are customs to try and just invoke in God that we want a sweet year. So that is Rosh Hashanah on one foot in a nutshell. However, there's much more. So people can always go online and you can read more about Rosh Hashanah. But I want to wish everyone that God should grant everyone Shana Tova Mutuka, healthy, sweet New Year, that God should answer everyone's prayers with whatever desire or prayer a person needs, whether it be health, happiness, nachas from your children, success, love, whatever it may be. Don't be scared to ask God, and God will definitely grant it as a father to his child, and we should all be inscribed in a healthy, sweet year.
Amen. So, Rabbi, what about services for Rosh Hashanah?
So we have services Friday night at 6:30. We have services both nights, Sunday night and Monday night at 7 o'clock. And we have services Shabbat morning 9:30, Sunday morning 8:30, followed by breakfast. And then we have Monday morning and Tuesday morning, Rosh Hashanah days, at 9 o'clock. And blowing of the shofar approximately about 11 o'clock.
Sounds good.
So Shana Tova, Ilan.
Shana Tova, Shana Tova.
And it should be a good year, and I look forward to talking many, many words of Torah on this radio station next year.
Me too. Me too.
Be well, and have a great year.
Thank you.
We'll talk. Bye-bye.